Welcome to the council meeting on Thursday, 18th October 2018, being held at Coolah. Please turn mobile telephones off, please.
Councillors and members of the public, just a reminder that the meeting is being recorded and will be placed onto the web for the public to listen to at any point.
We have no forum speakers today, so we're going to the apologies.
No apologies, Mr. Mayor.
Disclosure of interest and pecuniary interest, non-pecuniary conflict of interest, any of those?
One I'd like to potentially mention, if I could, Mr. Mayor. When we get to item 30.2, dealing with the quarry, goes on to mention that adjoining the current quarry and the regional property is farmland. And I just wanted that to put in the minutes that that farmland is leased by my wife and myself to carry out a farming operation. And, Councillor, are you declaring a conflict of interest?
Non-significant.
Non-significant. Item number one, Mayor's log, kilometres travelled and credit card activity.
Move.
Any debate on this one or not? You got a seconder? I'll put the motion. Carried. Item number two is that we've got two mayoral meeting minutes. Any discussion on this one? Item. You got a discussion?
No.
I'll move the motion. All carried. All favour. All carried. Minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 20th September.
No.
Second. Wendy. Anything rising from this? Nobody got anything?
Well, item 20, the community consultation meeting. We were going to investigate having a meeting, an annual meeting at Goolai. I just wondered how in-depth investigation do we need? Do we just need to have an indication of perhaps getting...
We'll be arranging that for the February-March... round of community consultation.
If we could round up a dozen, 15 people, that'd be helpful.
Everybody in favour of them? Favour? Carried. Minutes of Traffic Advisory Committee held on the 27th.
Yeah, move.
Second up.
Question, Mr. Mayor. The item about the Pandora Pass and the narrow winding stop, road winding sign to stop large vehicles from going up there. I'd like to be reassured that nothing no way impedes local agricultural traffic. People to live in stock or super and to that effect.
What sort of vehicles are going up there now?
A V-double went up there and put his dog trailer over the side because he was took the advice of Google Maps that was the shortest way to go to Parima.
Yeah.
It's not a road not designed for really big trucks like that, but local truckers know the road and know the conditions, and to make them go right around if they're doing a split load of stock or a split load of super makes it a bit tough on them.
And in that case, the same one I'm thinking of,
who
had paid stack pretty high too.
When I first read this, I was pretty were dismayed about it, and I had a talk to the local constabulary yesterday to ask them what the stats were and what had been happening up there. That was the explanation I got. It was a trucking was basically lost because of the advice of the girl on the dashboard and paid the consequences.
Kevin, do you have a comment?
Those signs, proposed signs, are advisory signs, and not to not regulatory signs as such. They won't prohibit trucks.
If we don't want trucks to go up there, we need signs down on the main road so they don't go up there.
The signs locations proposed, Mr. Mayor, are at a location where if a long truck finds its way up there, they can turn around, there's room to turn around, so that's judged to be the most appropriate location for long vehicles.
So we're on this side, you have it near Cooler Creek, Burnwood?
Near the intersection, just past the intersection with Forest Road, as I understand. There's a spot close there that can be, trucks can turn around, so fine.
Are we going to, notify Google Maps to get them to change the information in there?
Yes.
Whatever all that technical stuff is they do.
That's the intention. We're going to try and come to, apparently there is a way of contacting Google.
Wouldn't we pay to have a sign down on the road down here so before they went up there? Tell them they can't get across there.
Along those lines, Mr. Mayor, if you come off the Golden Highway and you turn to the north to head to Cooler, there's a sign about 100 or 200 metres in that says it's unsuitable for high loads. But as someone who has driven a truck with high loads, you've already made the corner and then you read the sign, and where do you turn the truck around?
You can go up Cooler Creek Road, across Cooks Road and down Gundy Road to avoid Linton Bridge.
Yeah, but what Ambrose's point is, and what I can tell you, he's already in the conduit, he's already been through the forcing yard, and the sign says, can't fit through in, mate. It's a bit hard turn to be double round on, or whatever he's got on an hour of the day, forewarned.
Yeah, all those things were brought up with the fellow from the RMS who said that. We weren't aware that you could actually get onto Google and have the warning put on Google. Yeah, they'll stop that. And he thought it was superfluous to have that other sign. He reckoned that was the best spot for the sign to be erected. And the committee went along with his suggestion. And that was he was a new fellow too. It was the first time we've had that particular advisor. So we went along with his recommendation.
And my other issue, Mr. Mayor, was the item for guide on the school bus routes and bus stops. This is a criticism. There's two bus drivers in the room. It would have been nice if they were asked.
Where's that one for?
Well, I operate a bus. Fred used to operate a bus. It's a bus driver's responsibility to say where he can and can't stop. He's got to make up his mind to stop. It's safe, and you're establishing guidelines and not even consulting the industry. I don't think that's really fair.
You'd like to move something or not?
Oh, well, I'll move to that effect. I don't think it's fair that you're creating guidelines without consulting the industry.
The guidelines that are there are guidelines that are throughout the industry. This is the first time that we've had any policy at all. And you're right, the bus driver is the person who makes the call about safety, and all those things are outlined. It doesn't say this is where you would stop or anything like that. It is a thing for you to make comment on. And at this stage, it is a draft that we are going through. And as the RMS fellow said, this is the one that I think was used first around Orange. It was based by one of the smaller shires. We brought it up in this shire when I started to see dangerous pick-up points, one of them being on the Oxley Highway that I was watching two kids jump on the bus in the mornings, and I found out some years ago that we didn't have a policy at all. Well, now we're introducing a draft policy, and you'll get a chance to make comments on it when it becomes undrafted.
In such a way that the local industry will be consulted. It's paramount importance to me that I set children down safely when they get on and off the bus, but I don't want someone else telling me what's safe and what's not. I'd like to make my own mind up and not be instructed to do something that I consider to be dangerous and put the child's lives at risk.
Yeah, but you won't, that's not what the draft is about.
Well, the bus drivers are that's an issue.
Exactly right.
You want to move a motion on anything, Councillor Lewis?
That's not what it says there.
You want to move a motion on any of your two?
Well, I think the minutes should be amended that local bus people are consulted. Because there's different horses for different courses, there's different children, there's different mothers, they can do it.
Councillor Shitton, would you be fine with changing item number 4 in the recommendation to put on display for public comment? Councillor Pagan?
Yeah.
Everybody agreeable? Passed, carried. What about your first one, Councillor Lewis? The first one you brought up is about...
Just that, well, I've got to sell it to the public because if a school bus driver comes along and says to the Mrs. Smith or Jones, whoever, we're not allowed to stop here, we're going to stop down there, that it's a person on the front lines, then a cop criticism or the brunt of it. And, they trust me to look after their children, not some people department.
Any more comment on this one? I'll put the motion up. Carried. Minutes of the Coonabarabran Sporting Complex Advisory Committee meeting, 12th of September.
I'll move.
Clancy.
And speak.
Second to Brady.
I'd just like to congratulate all staff involved. The General Manager may do this for us. On the day that we had the of the complex, and that person that was so successful to getting the Deputy Premier to be in attendance, it gave the day a little bit more of a bang. And now that I've congratulated everybody, I'm now wondering whether we can get a budget on that building and the courts and the equipment that was to be provided also. So I know there is money still available, and I'd like to see what is available and how far it will all go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, just certainly the thanks about the Deputy Premier being there should go to Councillor Brady. He assisted with that. And Mr. Ty, are you able to help with the funding issue?
Mr. Mayor, there's no final figures in yet for the expenditure. There is expected this budget remaining, but there's still some work to be done down there, such as installation of bins. There are seats down there. Yeah.
I thought on the other side there was to be more seats as well at the other end of the hall. Project manager.
There are certainly seats I've noticed today over the depot, so that's perhaps where they're those bench type seats. So if that's the case, that's where they have to go. But we're close to finalising expenditure, and then we can look at these other options.
Another comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to say the project opposite of that complex, David Sturtridge, was responsible for the seating to go in. He changed the adaption of the seating down there. Very, very, very good idea. And twice the amount of patronage can now have some sort of seating. You can walk in, you can rub your bum on the rail. And so, once again, David Sturbridge, we thank you for your ingenuity on the day. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any more comments, Councillor? Do you want that noted?
Sorry?
You want that noted?
Yes.
Everybody? No? Everybody in favour of that? Okay. Minutes of the Barradine Flood Plain Management Advisory Committee. I'll move that one. Pretty good. Any debate on that one? Any item? Huh? Vote for it. You got a comment, have you?
No.
Kevin, can you explain a bit more, please, about that meeting?
So it was the first meeting for some time of that committee. It's probably a meeting on the new committee. And so we're at the stage now with the Barradine Levy project of finalising the design and construction specifications. And the consultant was at the meeting to provide reasons and explanations on some slight changes, and the committee provided feedback to the consultant, which was good. And we're now at the stage of putting the final design on display.
Any more comments on the floodplain management committee? Carried. Minutes of the Economic and Development and Tourism Advisory Committee. Any debate on this one? No?
Just a question there, Mr. Mayor. Recharge points for electric vehicles. NRMO has identified the Visitor Information Centre as the most appropriate site. Is that the business that we're doing, changing the ownership of the land from RMS to us? Are these going to be sited on land that we own or don't own?
I'm pretty sure, Mr. Mayor, from memory, it is on land that belongs to council already. So the Visitor Information Centre car park, which is at the other end of the showground entrance and part of the way down, is the land we're trying to compulsory acquire. We're almost through that process, so
okay.
Yeah, it isn't by that land.
Yep. So the second part of the question is then, how much does this cost if the RMA is doing it? I thought it was a freebie.
Yeah, pretty much, Mr. Mayor.
We're
pushing for free, of course. But I think there would need to be some modification to the car park because they want these things to park on a 90-degree angle, and at the moment ours would be parallel down on that northern side. So there might be some cost to council just to get the layout of the car park right. I'm not totally 100% on that, but that's what I've heard. So we'll be trying to push for NRMA to pay for the whole lot if we can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so in that case, we can take them out of that choo-choo. There were two suggestions in there. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Okay then.
Thank you. Any Councillor Lewis?
I just got a question about printing the flyers. Not against it, but several years ago, we had a lot of flyers printed for something similar to this, and we didn't inspect the old Shire Yard machine around and found over half of them in boxes, not even used. So. If we've got any records, can we see how many were printed then, or half a number?
These are different, they're for each community.
Boxes and boxes of them.
Yeah, that's probably Shire ones. These are for each community.
Yeah.
For their handout. Not the big centre.
I just want to see so much money.
We generally use all of them, so that's why we print some more. So. Yeah, they usually go pretty good.
Or hide them better than the council.
Any more debate on this item? Councillor Dillon?
No, it's a pretty good move for show of hands. Mr.
Everybody agreeable or carried? Minutes of the Robertson Oval Advisory Committee meeting held on the 26th of September.
Yeah, I'll move that.
Councillor Hill, seconder. A seconder? Councillor Dillon. Anybody? Any debate on this item?
No, not really. Haven't had any more discussion about it, so.
I'll move that. I'll recommend. You got your favour? Put hand, more hands up, not up there. That carried. Minutes of the Warrnambool Aerodrome Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Cable. I've got two things in it. One was at the last meeting, if they put a new fence up, they're going to pull the old one down. Well, they've changed their mind now. They don't want to pull the old one down. And the second item was the cost of the money to put the fence up can be halved. Any more debate on this item? No more. I'll put the motion. Carried. Notice of motion, HR report recommendation. A mover. Nutsi. Seconder. Lewis. Any debate on this item?
Do you want to speak for it, or?
I speak for it.
I'll speak for the report. It's been of some concern to me, as well as other councillors, that there's been substantial movement of staff within our organisation, and as councillors, we feel like much of this movement hasn't been adequately explained to us. We feel that in a small community, in a small shire like this, the reasons for such high staff turnover need to be something that is raised in its level of importance in terms of what we as councillors do and what we're aware of. And as a result, I think we need to bolster this HR report that we get. I understand that in order to do so, it may be necessary to move the report to class council, because names may need to be mentioned, and we need to respect the privacy of the individuals concerned. The matter of operational versus council business is one that comes up time and time again when such topics are raised, not only within this organisation but in any organisation, and it's that age-old operations versus risk versus strategy debate which will never go away within organisations. So whilst in many ways these are operational matters, in other ways they are risk management matters and strategic matters. So we need to strike some sort of balance as a council with our senior management in terms of how we can get our minds around these matters, as well as respecting the management's need to conduct their business in a way that isn't seen to be suffering from interference from us. So the way we've moved forward here is this notice of motion, and I hope that my fellow councillors may be sympathetic to this notice of motion. There was, for your information, a previous draft of this motion which, after consultation with the General Manager, resulted in it being watered down to this version. I would have liked a few more parts to this motion, and it's a topic I may revisit down the track. But for the moment, I think the motion as it stands represents an improvement on what we're doing, and I hope that my fellow councillors will support it.
Any more debate?
Yeah, I personally think that you are stepping out of your councillor role. This is definitely operational stuff. I don't see why you need a list of employees' names. A list of employee positions would suffice just as well, and wouldn't cause any problems. I don't know which part of the closing of a meeting you would use to raise names of staff members in closed council. I suppose it's part A, which says to discuss personnel matters, but when I sought guidance on that, that is there if there is an employee is not getting any satisfaction in any other way of raising his matters, and so it's there to be put into closed council so those matters could be discussed. But then there was also no part where the staff are excluded, so this could be a rather interesting little meeting if we close it to discuss a problem with a staff member. Person who may have created it is in the meeting as well, so because there is no avenue for us to exclude then staff members, as far as this person could advise. But no one has any problems with a list of positions, but I think having employees' names I think is a bit of an affront, and would be, as the way I see it, an embarrassment for staff if they knew that at any stage councillors could go into closed council and start discussing them. And I personally would not support this. I think it's dangerous territory.
Right, write a reply, anybody?
Write a reply?
Seconder speaks.
What's that? Seconder speaks. Seconder speaks?
You spoke.
No, I seconded
it. You too seconded, yeah.
No, I agree with what Noah said, sir.
Any other speakers on this motion? Fred, Councillor Andy.
I, in many ways, I support this thrust by Councillor Lutzi. We can't operate for the public unless we show some resilience to what goes on. Now, it's time, I believe, and you won't get it through till next year at the conference, that we should be taking measures to make people aware, and that can be just the naming of the worker or the worker's position. But I don't think we should be walking away this all the time when it's so much pitched against councillors that we can't move, but yet the staff who are supposed to be working for us are out there running rampant on behaviour issues. And I believe it's time. I'm sorry that it's been left this long, the conference coming up, but it should be something that we do and try and make it our own council, not for the group of workers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other speakers for the motion?
I could make one more comment.
Any other speakers?
It just probably concerns maybe the names, that's all, what positions I think that you would support.
I think that's what I am too.
Or is there a way around it where the staff member can sign on a thing to release it?
Any more comments?
Yeah, my comment is we only employ one person as the general manager. So, it's what Councillor Fancy was saying there. We don't employ the staff. General manager does. We employ the general manager.
I don't know. Exactly what's happening in this room now.
Well, right reply to the original motion.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Mayor. thanks to all the councillors that have made comment. I feel as a council we have sufficient professionalism and maturity to treat names in a respectful way and in a confidential way, especially if we're in closed council. So I don't accept that names are not appropriate. Furthermore, the notion that somehow quoting staff positions will help us here, I reject as well, because short of the senior management positions, it becomes very vague. Someone said to many of us, position XXX was resigned, we lost an XXX type of an officer, or we gained XXX. It really doesn't help us much. It is way too anonymous and really unhelpful. I would have liked, in my original version of the motion, to also involve councillors in the exit interviews, but that was a step too far for the moment, so I've decided to hold back on that after liaising with the general manager. For the information of fellow councillors, the general manager has sought legal advice on this matter, and the motion as it stands is legal and is licit as long as we handle it properly. So I hope that eases the concerns for some of you. There's also a movement within governance circles, and this comes through my experience within governance at a broader level, whereby there is concern now that the division between operational and board, and in our case board means council, that division has perhaps gone a little bit too far, and that boards and councils need to get a little bit more in tune with what's going on at the operational level. I would have thought that this motion helps us meet that more modern, more current approach to governance. In a small community such as ours, I would be much happier for councillors to be given facts when it comes to staff movements rather than rely on scuttlebutt, innuendo, backdoor information like, unfortunately, a lot of us are having to rely on these days. So I think a motion like this makes our jobs a lot easier, removes a lot of the rumour, and makes the whole operation of council a lot more professional.
I'll put the motion, those in favour. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Can I say, with positions, not names, an open document?
We'll need an amendment to the motion to do that. We've got to make the motion been passed. Next, we're going to council.
Got to have my name recorded against that. Thank you.
Can I record Councillor Simpkin against?
Harry.
Can I just clarify? Are we having their names in the white paper? No.
Closed council.
In closed council. Right. So can that be part of that recommendation in black and white for everyone?
It is.
Yeah, kind of.
Report be held in closed council.
Council's monthly travel claim, September 2018.
My apologies, councillor. That should councillors, that should read September rather than May then.
Where are we now?
Got a mover. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Lewis. Any debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried. Delegates report from the Arana Arts meeting in Dubbo on the 21st of September. Anne Louise. Seconder. Any, debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried.
Mr. Mayor, that brings us to the, staffing reports. Item number 13, Quinbarra Grant Emergency Water Supply Project.
Can we have an update? Move Councillor Cable. Second to Councillor Doolan. What is Councillor Lewis?
Could I talk about this?
Yes. Yep.
I had a complaint from a member of the public during the week wanting to know when they can use the water their gardens and houses sort of thing, and the criticism about how much money was spent on this project and still hasn't eased water restrictions. And he claimed the public expectation was the number of bores we were putting on would relieve the situation where people would be able to water their gardens occasionally. He also brought up the mental health aspect of it for old people that are seeing their gardens die that they spent years and years putting in to build up. He also raised the question that there was public criticism of council when we first mooted the bores project that we were going in on a much lower level than the aquifer that residents along Twelmore Road in Kinnabarra are currently using, and claims that we haven't gone deep as we claim to, that we're in the same aquifer and there's a risk that we're going to make everyone run out of water. I've talked to a few people since and found that's not exactly 100% the truth, but we need some a public media release or bringing the public up to speed very much on what's going on, because there's a lot of dissension going on around Coonabarra about this issue, that we've been spent so much money, we've still got level 6 water restriction. I said to the bloke that we won't cod, we couldn't make it rain, but he thought with all the bores that they'd at least be able to use the hose for an hour or two a day, once or twice a week, to ease the tensions and make some of the people happy that see their gardens die. That's all I've got to say.
Any more debate on that item?
Well, I think when we first put these bores down, it was never mooted that this was Kinnabarra's alternative supply. The dam is our water supply in the river and a combination with the bores. But the this is an emergency situation to make sure Kinnabarra had water. It wasn't to make sure that we kept all the gardens alive. That was my understanding of how this all came about. And I think the public, it was said a number of times that this is exactly what that was, and I don't know why all of a sudden this misunderstanding has come about, but I suppose when all the bores are hooked up and we've run them for a while and we see what damage we do to the aquifer, which I doubt we'll do any, I think that then we could possibly look at lifting those restrictions to 6 to probably 5, but no more than that. It's not a laughing matter, I beg your pardon, for laughing. But it's not a fix until we've tested these bores. They've only run for that little bit of time, and they haven't all run together, and so we have no idea what we're going to do to the aquifer and to other people's supplies. But my understanding was that when we hooked up and started to pump these bores, we have taken the levels that people have been using for their water supplies out of our system. So we've preserved them for the people who have those using that level, and we've gone deeper.
That's correct, Councillor Shinton. When we've put down the bores, we've been sealing off the other aquifers as we go to deeper levels. And it was my understanding that these bores are to provide a emergency water supply to Kinnabarra Grant, and not one that is going to permit ongoing watering. Having said that, it's a matter of once we get the bores down, all of them, or complete, I should say, they're all down, but we haven't yet brought all of them online, and then it's a matter of seeing how we go, and if there's a sustainable supply, then maybe Council can look at relaxing the water restrictions at that point in time.
Another issue I want to raise, Mr. Mayor, is it's not on a council level, probably on a state level, or probably even on a federal level, is the legislations that exist. Telling people that they can't recycle their water or reuse grey water, telling them that they can't drink grey water is no good for them, it's not potable, having to label taps, danger, do not drink, this water's rainwater. I think it's high time Australia got their head out of the bloody sand and realised that it's a pretty dry place and we started to utilise grey water and our rainwater and everything else and diverted some of our stormwater into tanks in the yard so we can use it in the gardens. Maybe these problems wouldn't be so prevalent.
Just want to see some clarification. In the table it says that the Coonabarabran water is fully treated, but it doesn't mention fluoridation. Is that a typo, or is that, or has there been a change in our policy towards fluoridating Coonabarabran water?
Well, the fluoridation currently is not occurring. There were issues with the operation of the fluoridation plant a while ago that still haven't been resolved. The fluoride couldn't be dissolved in a way to be put into a water supply, and if we can't do it, then we have to notify New South Wales Health about it on a daily basis. We can't meet the target, which is quite close, because if you have too much or too less fluoride in the water, it can be a health hazard, or too much rather than too little, but you want a certain amount due to the dental health that you're referring to, I assume. So what we have undertaken meanwhile is we have approached New South Wales Health, and they actually did send a letter to us as well to say if we have issues with our fluoridation systems, there's subsidies available to help us with that. And we have approached New South Wales Health asking for funding to replace the systems that aren't working in our fluoridation to make them up and running again so we can fluoridate supplies where we have fluoridation plants, including Coonabarabran.
So I think this is a matter of public significance and public health importance. And as far as I understand, well before this council, but our water in Coonabarabran is meant to be fluoridated. This was a public debate that went on about 15 years ago. And as far as I, as a medical practitioner, know, as far as the dentists in town know, we are meant to have fluoridated water. Now, if we do not have fluoridated water, I think we have some sort of responsibility to, as a minimum, let our health services know that that is the situation, and probably to let the public know that that's the situation. I don't think it's fair to the public to be running on the assumption that they're getting fluoride when they're not getting fluoride, and we're knowingly not putting fluoride in the water. Because if that's the case, people that expect the water to be fluoridated will take other measures to protect the health of their team. I can say quite confidently that there was a noticeable change in dental health once we fluoridated our water in Coonabarabran. So we need to be clear with the public what we're doing with respect to fluoride.
Sure, I totally agree. As a parent, I used to give my kids fluoride drops and then tablets as they got older because we were on rainwater. Because I knew, but if I'm under the assumption, I wouldn't be doing that in Barragan, assuming that it's been done for me.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'm not sure that it needs a motion. I think we're a council that, as far as the public knows, is fluoridating. And if we are knowingly not fluoridating, I think we have an obligation to let them know. If we need a motion, we need a motion. But I don't think it needs a motion.
Mr. Mayor, New South Wales Health have been advised of this, so that side of it's covered off, but we're happy to start putting out some information in the media through our water report or something like that to indicate that it's currently not fluoridated. Then, of course, once we get that corrected, once the funds come, I'm assuming we're after funds from the state government at the moment, I think, for this repair.
I'm not sure where the funds come from. I know that New South Wales Health gives it to them, but I think it's a state government, yes.
Yeah. Once we get that repaired, then we'll again notify the public that we're back online.
What other towns own fluoride? They all fluoride?
The only one that doesn't need to be is Dunedoo. They've got a naturally high level. I'm pretty sure most of the others we've had issues on at that meeting when New South Wales Health and DPI Water were present. There's a real issue with the machinery that does it, right, not just here, right across the state.
Yes, it's right across the state. Yes, other councils have that problem as well.
This was brought in about 14 years ago to fluoride all the water in the shire.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'd have to put, we'd have to notify every town.
No.
No?
Except Dunedoo.
No, just Coonabarabran. Coonabarabran's the only one that's fluoridating, as far as I understood.
No, yeah. Sorry, there were other towns that got fluoridation before. So we had fluoridation plants in Coonabarabran, Bowdoin, Bingway, yeah. Coola and Mandoran. And fluoridation plants have been commissioned in Coonabarabran, Bowdoin and Bingway. So in those towns they did have fluoride at some point and now they don't. And the fluoridation plants in Coola and Mandoran have been commissioned due to lack of staff training. It's a quite comprehensive training that they have to have to make sure that they don't do anything wrong and jeopardize the security of the water supply. And that also is going to be subsidized through New South Wales Health and the state government to help us with that staff training as well, so we can actually commission the plants after we fix them up, because they all have the same problem as the a piece of machinery that's not working properly.
Yeah. There was information, I think that's what Dr. Anitz is referring to, because it's not in that report. I can't find where it was, though.
If you may, yeah. Mr. Mayor, it came up at that water meeting last year, and so I understood that of our five fluoridation plants, they were all not operational, but what made me more concerned today was that fluoride is listed in the other places, but not even listed in Coonabarabran. So that made me think, well, what has there been a shift in policy without us knowing? I would have thought something that significant would have to come to the council. What I'm also hearing, again, this is scuttlebutt, but I'm hearing that some of the workers at the water treatment plants have a philosophical objection to fluoridation, and that may be one of the reasons why training is not happening. That's definitely an operational issue that I think Roger's going to have to deal with at some stage, but it's not going to be an easy one to overcome.
Any more speakers on this item? I'll put the motion. Everybody in favour? Harry.
Item number 14, drought management and water demand management plans. And just to add in an additional recommendation into one, I'll call it 1.4 for argument's sake, that any minor areas being, council authorise any minor areas be adjusted that do not impact with the intent of these documents. So,
such as the Cool of Burragundy River.
Yes.
Okay. I've got a mover for this motion, Cable. Councillor Cable, Councillor Doolan. Any debate on this item? Yeah. Councillor Inchin. Yeah,
not so much debate, but seeking clarification. 2.3, essential service customers. To me, there appears to be an inconsistency in how the essential services are defined. For example, in Barradine, the medical centre is listed, and yet it's not listed in Coola or Coonabarabran or Dunedoo. I would have thought that if it's essential in one town, it should be essential in all the towns. Likewise with hospitals, Barradine, the NPS isn't listed, and yet it's listed as Coonabarabran Hospital. So I think we need to get a little bit of consistency within that table. I don't think it's controversial at all. I think people would agree that medical centres and hospitals and probably dental surgeries need a water supply to conduct their business in a hygienic manner, as do the motels and probably the food outlets as well, for that matter. But so I don't know if it needs a motion or Cornelia can make some edits, and I don't know what Roger perhaps suggests the best way forward, but I think we just need some consistency there.
Just with that motion or recommendation I just mentioned about additional things.
So that's good enough for that?
Yeah,
okay, good.
So could you please clarify which document and which table and document you're talking
about? So the one we're looking at now, drought management plan.
Drought management, okay.
You've got in 2.3, that's page
36.
Yeah, page 8 of the document, mm-hmm. 3. I think within each town, within each district you're defining there, we need to have some consistency. I would have thought medical centres, hospitals, dental surgery should be listed across the board, or perhaps reformulate that table in such a way that you don't need to go town by town. It's only a minor adjustment, but it would be good. I would also think it's useful to have an author stated on those documents as well, just to so people have a reference point. So, for example, a member of the public that goes in to read this and wants to make a submission, at least it's easier to direct the submission, or perhaps you can write a clause in there saying any comments or suggestions be directed to the general manager or something like that. To have an anonymous document of this size is a little bit awkward, I think.
Any more comments on this item? I put the motion. Carried.
Item number 15, Cooler Hostel, divestment by New South Wales Health. And if I could just modify the recommendation there slightly, Mr. Mayor, in recommendation point 2, that we say offer the Cooler Hostel to a local community group. I say offer the Cooler Hostel to local community group, Cooler Cottages Incorporated.
Can you move it?
I'll second that.
Cable, Lewis. Yeah. Everybody in any debate?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that we move the recommendation and get a letter of support from our federal and state members to support our recommendation, taking into consideration the fact that the Western Area Health Service took it over in 2003 with 100% occupancy rates and about $1 million in the bank. So I think them giving it back to us for a dollar with that money in the bank, they're giving it back to that group is pretty fair.
I'll put the motion in. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, from the discussion this afternoon, I believe that the local community group have been discussing or negotiating with the local members fairly hard on those issues.
Just so long as they don't let anyone go over. Mm.
Council, is there any debate on it?
No, I think I'll be voting for it, but just as a bit of background, I was late to the inspection. Why was it taken over by Western Health, and then why was it coming back?
Western Area Health moved in and said you're not compliant. They've handed over and become compliant. They handed it over, and then there were no changes made, and they ran it not compliant for all that period until they moved people to the hospital. And I
think
they saw an asset that they didn't have to pay for.
Mm. Yeah, good
business
didn't get it.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why the community would like it back, and they stated today the community would raise between 25-30% of the initial bills at fixed cost. And the rest was a federal grant.
Everybody agreeable on that, Gary?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Item number 16, Council Officers Christmas Closure.
Move. Any discussion on this front? We'll put the motion. Carried.
Item 17, Legal Assistance.
Mm. I'll move. Right.
Did you move it?
Parking moves everywhere on every street now, mate. And the amount of money they're asking for contribution. We'll be breaking the chain if we don't give them the money. It's what's being fed to us.
Where's Bayside City Council?
I think it's in a merger of the Botany Bay Rockdale area.
Thank you.
That seems odd.
I'd like to speak against this. I think this is.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Just looking for a second at first.
A second. Councillor Hill.
Oh, Chris did, I think. Oh, no, he moved it. I'll second it. Or better.
Okay. I moved it, Wendy.
Yeah.
Fancy.
He was looking for a second.
Any speakers for the motion?
I'd like to speak against the motion. I think it's a disgrace that they're asking a poor, drought-affected council for money for an issue that has zero relevance to us. This is a matter that deals with high-level property development that really never comes to a place like ours. So for them to suggest that it's got far-reaching implications to councils like ours, I think is really stretching the truth. And it's also for local government New South Wales. This is an organisation that I think has not served us at all well over the last few years. An organisation that I myself would like to see us withdraw from. And I think this gives us further evidence why this is not an organisation that works at all well in our interest. And if this motion was to be carried, I wish my dissent, to be recorded.
Maybe like Councillor Dillon.
No, speaking again. I have to queue up behind.
Are you going to speak next, or?
Well, you can go.
Okay, I've got a bit of confusion here. I read the paper, then I read the letter, and it appears to me that what the City Council are doing is that it's business rates. They've allowed a residential block to be built there, and they charge business rates right up until the day that they give the occupation certificate, and then you have residential rates, which are less than business rates. Am I right? Is that the gist of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand that? Yeah. That's what's happening. And then I thought to myself, just a bit different to Councillor Annuzzi, was that in the same situation, we have Cooler, and we have allowed the small area farms to surround this area. So we have allowed that to happen if that fellow who owns the land is willing to develop it. And I believe he's not. So what we could do in this case now is not charge rural rates, but charge him the developer rates, as if he sold these as small, 1,000 small blocks.
That didn't go through.
What's that? Could we force this character by changing the rates, and that's what this council is saying they can do. If we could squeeze this fella into developing by putting his rates up because we've given him the right to develop. Is that not the same? Is it drawing a long bow, or is it not exactly the same thing? Because what the High Court has said is, the developer should be paying the residential rate while he's developing, not the business rate. Now, can we play the other game and say, we want you to develop this land around Cooler, therefore we hit you with the huge rates, you develop now.
And
it's exactly the same thing in my book.
And that's what's happened in Western Sydney, where they've forced out the small farms by doing that to everyone's detriment.
So I don't know if this could get going on.
Well, I was going through you, Mr. Mayor, ask the Director Brian, put you on the spot, because you're all knowledgeable in these things. I think, wouldn't that be the case that when consent had been given to build a residential premises at that place, the rating should have changed to residential at that time?
I'm pretty sure the zoning would change.
Yes.
To allow the development.
Exactly.
So there's a way to start. If you want to change what's going around, you change the zoning.
rural land around, you can get hands on drum, and let's pick a spot and rezone it.
Sorry, councillors. It's not actually a planning issue per se. It's a categorisation issue. We're talking about the application of two different acts. I'd have to give it some thought as to what your proposal was, councillor Shin, really give you an answer on this. The issue that we have before us, though, is we're getting caught up in the actual case itself rather than the principle of how local government New South Wales operates. And that is that it's not these individual councils coming to us asking for reimbursement or assistance. It's local government New South Wales saying to its membership, hey, we look after all of you, and in this particular case we see that there is relevance for the local government industry, not necessarily Warren Mungleshire Council, but local government industry, that this is a case that needed to be decided upon, therefore they're looking for a contribution from all councils. Yes, we are drought affected and we are not as financially well off as what some of these councils are. Certainly North Sydney Council is one that is very well off, in my view, and of course the City of Sydney. But I suppose from our point of view, if these councils are able to recoup more revenue, then maybe more of the financial assistance grants might be able to come our way.
I agree with all your arguments. I'm back for this. But it's just, you can see.
I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, give it some thought.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be voting against, because I just think, as we've discussed with some of our legal matters we've got before us currently, we have to do a cost-benefit analysis of it. Are we going to get the money that when we go to court, are we going to get more money back than we're going to spend in legal fees? And I think anyone who looked at this case from the start would have had to say, what's the cost benefit to us here? We're going to chase these people down and we're going to get some extra. If we get a win, we're going to be able to get the business rates as opposed to residential rates, which would be nothing like what the case would have costed. I think that should be negotiated and settled long before it got to this. I might be a bit of a bush lawyer, but I can see that I'm hiding nothing from the start. This and they should have had more sense.
There is no common sense in government. When are you going to
Any more discussion on this? Write a reply from Councillor Nancy.
No, I didn't do anything.
Clancy.
I know.
I'll put the motion up. Who's in favour?
The stage.
Lost.
carried.
The motion was lost. Right.
Item number 18, minutes of the Arana Rock.
I'll move.
Nancy, Councillor Nancy, second. Any debate on this item? It's finished, it's all over and done with.
But it looks like 2 minutes.
I'll put the motion up. Those in favour?
What's this, sorry?
O-Rock.
Yep. Right. Carried.
Item 19, write-off the water charges.
Got a mover?
The discussion.
You'll. Seconder? Any debate on this item?
How can you tell whether you should give this particular person a write off their charges and not one that's going to come in next week or 3 weeks' time or the one from 3 weeks ago? And a lot of people get in this situation, but yeah, how can you be fair? I feel actually towards the person, but you can't produce a product and give it away for nothing.
I got in the same situation because of evaporated air conditioner overflowed on a rental house, and I had a good think about it, and I said the best thing to do is pay it.
My heart tells me to give him the money to let him off, but the business head doesn't say so.
Hence why we have point two, that we advise that no further assistance will, yeah, write-offs will be made for this property.
Well, I think we've got $2,000 saved from the last motion.
At this rate.
They're not a serial, they're not really naughty.
It can happen to it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, just the fact that they're away in the hill.
We got two recommendations here. Which one do we go with?
Well, that's only one option. It's right off one. Isn't it?
Advise the property owner no further. We write it off.
That's right. Advise them, and they're not going to get it done again. Yep. Otherwise, I'll go to some people before and get it anyway.
All those recommendations
being moved and seconded.
Being moved and seconded.
I'll put the motion to
forward.
Carry. Anybody against? No.
Item 20, returns in the section 449, and just to confirm that all returns are now in, and they are tabled here for inspection.
We'll move for that. Cable, here comes the cable, count the fitting. Well, any debate on this item? Anyway?
Which one is that for me?
Item number 20.
I'll put the motion up and it'll be noted. In favour? And carry.
Item number 21, Council Resolutions Report.
No. And Berlin. I'll put the motion up.
I was just listening on the radio yesterday, and there was an ad put in by the Liverpool Plumbing Strike Council, I think, talking about their updating their local environment plan. Anyone want to make any submissions to how you go about it? And I thought, we're currently undertaking the approval. Will we be doing anything like that with our...
Funny you talk about that, Councillor, because we've actually just drafted a media release talking about the heritage side of our local environment.
I know that.
Yeah. It was? We had this idea.
Right, okay, so that'll be...
Yeah, pretty much me, we are doing an early peer review, but we're probably not ready yet to be calling the submissions, so still in draft format, working on
it. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're still doing a media release in relation to the heritage.
Just for Councillor Doolan's knowledge, last time round we had meetings in each of the community public meetings. You can come along and ask questions.
There's
a couple of things on this report that I'd like to draw Council's attention to. Internal audit, motion moved almost a year ago, we still haven't finalised that. The motion about report on general manager's leave that was delegated to the Mayor, we may need to clarify that that specifically relates to Councillor Simpson, not to you, Mayor Todd. Still don't have a resolution to that one, and also reports with respect to the forensic audit remain outstanding, so I'd be interested to know what progress is being made on those three items.
In relation to the internal audit, no further progress since last time. I can't comment on point two.
Because I gave a verbal report to the council and said I don't keep records of the general manager's leave, so all I did was approve what he asked. And if you want the record of when he left, then go and see the HR, whoever keeps those records, because I don't. Yeah.
Mm. And in relation to the forensic audit, I informed the council's external auditor that I'd be looking for a report from them just to check on our progress so that I can report back to council. I have followed up with an email, actually two emails since, and I had a discussion with them today in relation to that, and they said yes, they are aware of it. They're just working on the external audit. They need to get the approval of the Auditor General first before they can progress it, but I'm expecting that should be fine, but need to wait for the external audit to be completed, and there are other external audits to be completed, and then they'll report back to me, and then I'll submit that to council.
So realistically, a motion booked in 2017 is not going to be concluded until 2019?
No, I'm talking the forensic audit there.
Yeah, but yeah. What about the internal audit stuff?
I'm sorry, councillor, it's just other things taking priority at this point. Yeah.
We've got a mover for that. We've got a, I'll put the motion in favour of that. Everybody, more hands carried.
You count quicker.
No, you come on, they're not very high.
Item 22, Human Resources Report.
Got a mover. Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill. Any debate on this item?
My only comment would be that the mathematics is very poor. Mathematics is very poor. Yeah.
We're in investments in terms of cost.
Human resources.
Oh, we're not in this yet.
Any debate on this question? Item. I'll put the motion. We need more hands up.
You weren't quick enough.
Item number 23, investments.
You're going to move it?
Yep.
Councillor Clancy. Thank you. And Louise. Any debate on this item?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll just ask a real simple question. The bottom line of 14 million, and 6 years ago when I left council, it was in the 20s. We keep getting feedback from our financial sector of the council how well we're going, how strong we're going. How come we've gone down $8 million in that time?
You've spent the money.
You good?
We've got the jobs done.
Well, there's a lot of jobs not done.
But that's exactly right, $13 million bucks worth.
We've got our chief financial officer or whatever running around telling us when we're having town consultation how strong we were going, how wonderful Shire was running. We've never been in a better financial situation. Well, that bottom line there doesn't present that.
Can I suggest that the matching of grants that we have well, I'm talking about the grants we have to meet and the money that that costs. So there's an explanation for some of the money that's disappeared. You either pay the grant money or you don't get the money. Now, there might be somebody else that's got some other idea, but that's a pretty quick situation that we have to contribute to the system. So, elsewhere on that map.
Just to a simple person like me, there's a lot of difference between 20-something million and 14 million.
Mm-hmm. Part of that too was the freezing of the feds had a over $1 million impact on us for those 4 years.
1.4 or something last year, probably.
Costs go up and now our increase is below it.
We got any more debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried.
Item number 24, name change proposal for the locality of Napier Lane.
Yep. Yeah. Who seconded it? Anybody, any debate on this item?
Not so much debate, but comment. If the geographical names board suggests that it should have happened previously, have we had correspondence from them to that effect? Or how does that work? Do they make advice to us about that, or do we advise them? What's just for information, really?
These matters, I think, as council would know, Mr. Mayor, that council made a resolution a few years ago to look at locality names and try and do some rationalisation, and we'll remember the situation at Barradeen, where Treasury Creek was on the doorstep of Barradeen. So council officers have been backwards and forwards discussing various locality names and making changes as a result of council resolution, and I think this has just been along the way that this has come up.
Thank you. Can I just ask a question, please? Dandry and places like that, we were told that we don't associate with that name, and we could return back to the Coonabarabran name that we all associate with. Where are we with all that? Because it seemed to be on the boil about 12 months ago, and now there's absolutely nothing. Now, we'll be back to you and we'll talk to you about this, but haven't heard anything.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I might have to take that on board and suggest that send out a plan of where we're up to. I know we're working on other localities such as Bomera and Prima and Tamba Springs. They've sort of been fine-tuning those, and we're also working on Yulamambra. I just don't know where we're up to Dandry, changes to Yulamambra are in the foot. And so what's happening in the meantime is that the officer doing these changes is making phone calls for people along the boundaries of these properties to get their thoughts on a change. And so there's work happening, but I don't think I can give you an update on Dandry, but I can take that on board.
This is the first time this has come up as a cabinet council, this one. I can't remember it coming up as before.
Not your line.
I'm pretty sure it did way back when we had big spreadsheets, big A3 printouts and maps of the whole shire. That might have been the previous council. It would have been. We had big A3s of all the names, and then how Kevin and the geological board thought they should be changed.
What were the resolutions? This one we carried over to the next meeting, will we? That'd be a good idea.
I'll take on board the council's looking for an update on where we are with this project overall. So, put our report to council on that.
Everybody agree? Yeah, Councillor Dillon?
Yeah, just, well, I think this is common sense, this one. We weighed that through. But just on a related matter through you, Mr. Mayor, to Kevin. We had an ambulance call in at our son's house the other morning at 2:40, looking for 846 Mary Ulla Road, and we're 844. And I just would have thought we've had a few ambulances going amiss in this area over the last couple of years, up in the Perleville area, with pretty bad results at the end of it. I just thought that they might have had their locating devices or processes a little bit better, that they can get to where they have to go half past 2 in the morning. So,
Mr. Mayor, I'm always happy to, I'm happy to receive reports of this nature, because I have this discussion at our LEMC meetings, and we're ambulance and fire and rescue and RFS present, and it is an ongoing issue. We're working away at it in terms of aligning our road naming and our addressing. But the ambulance seem to have their own method of finding people. It's frustrating.
Through you, Ms. Quinn, maybe a promotion to the public about having reflective road numbers might help.
Good, right.
Things like that.
We have the marble.
Be aware of the road number. I know in one of the promos a few years ago here, it's if you're calling for an ambulance to go to your shearing shed instead of your house, you need to know the shearing shed gate number and preferably actually have the number on the gate because they're watching their kilometre metres. So they might end up at your house, but the accident's on the other side of the property they've already passed. If you're used to landline, it pins that, so maybe we need a bit of public education program.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I said, through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Dillon, if I'll talk to you offline about the details around that one. That sort of detail, I can come back and work out why they're looking for a different number.
I'll put the motion. Everybody agreeable? Carried.
Item number 25, rural road naming.
Yeah, move.
Move, Councillor Shetland, and Nussie. Councillor Nussie. Anybody?
Yeah, Cody might be able to answer me. This one was, when it was originally going to be Anne's Lane, was Anne, Wiradjuri, or Gamilaroi, and what language is that word?
I think it's Gomeroi, yeah.
Big buddy?
I think it's local language.
Right. Because we don't want to get knocked back again.
No, I'm positive that it was not the Lawrence.
On the understanding of the words, the local language, I'll vote yes for that.
I hope we haven't been printing the sign.
Huh?
I hope we haven't been printing the sign.
I've got it all over in the backyard, no?
Is this the road? Is this the Shire Road?
Yes.
Yes.
When someone subdivides, that access road becomes a Shire Road.
It's a road in Terry Lane.
It's a local road. I mean, the subdivision occurred many years ago, from what I understand. But as a result of subdivision, that public road was created.
Thank you.
Any more comments on that? I'll put the motion. Carried.
Item 26, Barradine Golf Club.
Councillor Bill.
Yes,
Councillor Hill. Councillor Hill. Any debate on this item? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried.
Item 27, visitor information centre car park.
Move.
Councillor Shinton. Councillor Brady. Any debate on this item?
Just a minute, yes, a minute.
I'll put the motion. Carried.
Item 28, development applications.
Got a mover. Councillor Brady. Councillor Cable. Second up. No debate on this. I'll put the motion. Carried.
Item 29, questions for next meeting.
Councillor Doolan.
I just had some contact from a lot of people wanting to know. Thanks.
I
what was happening in this area, so I was
Councillor Clancy.
Yeah, I just want to question the membership of Councillor Shingen in the mining area.
Sorry, Councillor Clancy, we're on to questions for next meeting and the family daycare.
I was getting ready to ask a question, but that's fine.
I am a bit deficient as my role as a councillor. This one, I didn't go back to the people direct the people who raised their concerns with me to read this and see whether they were more in first-hand contact with this than I am. So I would have been better informed today had I just run that past them and said, "Is this an answer to your concerns?" I'll have to take that on notice and maybe just follow it up with you after.
Please. What are you doing there? Put the motion in favour.
Brings us to reports to be considered in closed council. The first one there is 30.1, which is Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community report. Recommendation goes into closed council on the 10.02C and G of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Chent and Councillor Brady. I'll put the motion. Carried.
Item 30.2, Boral Quarry, and going into closed council on the 10.02C and D of the Act.
Councillor Nudsey, Councillor Brady. Third one, the mayoral manager's performance review. Remover, Councillor Hill. Seconder, Brady.
And 30.4, review of organisation structure.
Remover, Chetland and Brady. I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward and express their reasons for why Council should not go into closed sessions to discuss these items. Mr. Mayor, there are no submissions, so in that case, there is a further recommendation there that Council now go into closed Council, etc.
Remover. Councillor Cable, Councillor Brady. Put the motion. I'll put the motion. Go in favour. Carried.
Alright, 6:34. Recording session done. Mr. Mayor, with closed council now finished, I'll just announce the resolutions of closed council. So on item 30.1, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community, the resolution of council was on the motion of councillors Chinton and Lewis that council note the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project Information Report. Item 30.2, Boral Quarry, the resolution of council on the motion from councillors Hill and Brady was that 1. Council negotiate with Boral Resources Country Proprietary Limited a renewal of the current licence agreement for a new period 1 January 2019 to 31 December 2019. Yes. And 2. The General Manager is authorised to negotiate with Boral Resources Country Proprietary Limited on both a renewal of the licence agreement and on a potential purchase of the quarry. Item 30.3, Mayoral Minute, Interim General Manager's Performance Review. the recommendation, the resolution on the resolution of Councillor Anuzzi and Shinton was that one, Council nominate councillors to be members of the performance review panel following comments from the General Manager, and those councillors are, in addition to the Mayor and Deputy Mayor, Councillors Clancy, Doolan, Lewis and Shinton. Two, Council delegate all tasks necessary for the completion of the performance review to the performance review panel. Three, the performance review panel members all undertake training in accordance with the Office of Local Government's performance review guidelines. And four, the Mayor be delegated the authority to finalise all arrangements for the performance review panel to convene, and that all councillors be provided with the opportunity for input and feedback. Item 30.4, Council resolution was on motion from Councillors Shinton and Hill that Council adopt the organisation structure as identified as proposed in the report on the review of the organisation structure. And that concludes the closed Council, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I thank everybody for coming, and I'll declare the meeting closed at 7:24.